Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, we're here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. We take you into some real sports talk with Charlie Pulido at 11 o'clock.
Actually, right? That is not correct.
Oh, Charlie, is Charlie on?
Oh, is it
Charlie
real sports
vacation?
Talk with Dell?
It'll be fake sports talk. In...
with Cody Stutes?
No, it'll be Dell and Nick Sciarra. I won't promise real sports talk. I promise A&M LSU fights talk. I'll promise Dwight Howard fight. That's not really a fight, but Dwight Howard talk.
Cat fight.
Well, possibly. I won't promise real sports, but I will promise I will talk a lot about how I think my new favorite ag is Cole Fisher.
Cole Fisher is Jimbo Fisher's nephew, who, after the game, allegedly punched Steve Kragthorpe in his pacemaker. Steve Kragthorpe.
He punched me in my pacemaker.
That sounds like something the SEC guy
Steve
would have said.
Kragthorpe is a former Aggie coordinator,
offensive coordinator.
He didn't go to A&M, so he's a former Aggie coach. So he's a former Aggie coach who also has Parkinson's and is now just an analyst. And apparently he was down on the field after the game. And Cole Fisher, Jimbo's nephew, punched him after the game. And then Kevin Falk came to the rescue, and those two are going to blows. Oh. So afterwards, and it was funny, because there's someone shooting Jimbo walking off the field when Cole Fisher comes up to him and says, yeah, I just got into a fight with a couple of LSU people. And Jimbo turns and goes, and he's got that look like, holy crap, my idiot nephew, holy crap. We'll see what happens with this after one of the great games that I can remember in college football history. It had a little bit of everything.
I watched the Arkansas-Kentucky game. There was a 7 overtime. I think it was Matt Jones and Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah.
I remember watching it when it was 7 overtimes. I had Arkansas and I was laying like 4.5 or 5, whatever it was. And I remember just thinking, well, this is over. But I had to have things break perfectly. Like I'd be in overtime thinking, oh, no, I need, you know, Kentucky to – I need Kentucky now to score a touchdown or kick only a field goal to keep this thing going. And I got a miraculous cover with Arkansas. I think it was Arkansas that I had. I had A&M -2.5.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's what I really don't want. I don't want to see touchdown and 2-point convert. I need to see the Aggies just score a touchdown and LSU get nothing. And I had all these opportunities.
You had a bunch of opportunities.
And I had a bunch of opportunities to get beat, too.
Yeah.
You know what's getting lost in this? The fact that A&M, I mean, the miraculous touchdown that A&M scored at the end of the game when the game was over and Ed Orgeron had Gatorade dumped on him, but because of a bad, was it a bad snap or a mishandled snap? I can't even remember now. I think it was low. He could have come up with it. He mishandled it. When he went down to grab it, his knee went down. We didn't see it in game.
Yes, we did.
I thought he was down.
I thought he was down.
See, I didn't even. I was paying attention to the play.
As soon as it happened, he goes, I go, he's down. He's down right
there. But you didn't think they were going to review it when the game was over.
Well, after he threw the interception, the refs never called, but that was a real possibility the whole time. Yeah.
Well, and that's what happened is it was reviewed. It was reviewed and it was overturned because the knee was down, so he got one more chance. And then Rodgers just turned into the same beast that we saw against Clemson. He came back out. How in the world do they not do more with him all year long? This guy has a real skill set, an unbelievable skill set in terms of ball winning, body control, 50-50 stuff. I mean, he looked like DeAndre Hopkins out there in that game. And he did against Clemson, too. And yet, you know, when you look at his numbers, I was very surprised that he hasn't had a bigger season.
Yeah. All I know is this. There were so many freaking highs and lows.
I don't remember
as many highs and lows as that football game. I mean, with so many crucial plays that had to be made to extend it to seven overtimes.
Four downs getting made or... You know, a quick strike touchdown for LSU met with a quick strike touchdown by
A&M. And then you got to make the 2-point conversion, and you make it.
How many reviewed plays, too? Sternberger with...
I
didn't think it was a fumble. I didn't think he had it. I didn't think he had...
Well, in today's world, in 2018, in this liberal world that we're living in, okay, with this liberal agenda, that was a catch and turn.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it was. He caught it, and he actually turned, and then the ball got punched out. What I don't understand is why they didn't review it. They didn't review that.
Well, are you sure they didn't? They reviewed everything.
I know they didn't review it. What do you mean? Because they were standing there talking, and Ed's going, review the freaking thing.
But upstairs, they can review it.
Yeah, they didn't.
How do you know they didn't review it and say it's good? They didn't take the long time.
No, they went on to the next play.
Yes, but I'm saying they have the review. They can watch whatever. They don't have to make it a big
ordeal.
Yeah,
well, then they call down and say, this play's under review. Stop. Mm-hmm. This play's under review. So they didn't do that, which was a little, you know, that was a little surprising. A little surprising. But
are you an LSU fan that thinks the game was stolen from you?
No, I think that there were a lot of plays that were fortuitous for A&M, though. Mm. I do. Now, whether or not, see, Peter Burns tweeted out, too, the 4th and 18, that the ESPN line was wrong. They had it on the 41-yard line, and it should have been on the 43. So it really was a first down. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look and see where the ball was and where the first down marker should have been, whatever the case may be. But ESPN's line was on the 41-yard line, and he was clearly short of that. Mm-hmm. So now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm going to go back and look at it because I just saw that on Twitter. But there were so many plays. So many plays. Now, let's not... I don't care either way. My wife was up, you know, she's an LSU fan. She wanted to see him win, blah, blah, blah. But no big deal. Whatever. I will say this. There were so many excellent, excellent football plays in that.
Yeah.
Kendrick Rogers didn't have a catch in regulation. And then the catches that he made, and then he was unstoppable in overtime.
Ed, that's what just doesn't make sense to me. Rogers should be getting... Yeah. Targets galore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying that without really studying him and watching if he's getting open with his routes and all that stuff, because that plays into it, too. You know, I didn't think Kellen Mond had his best game, certainly. He made plays in the overtime when he needed to and certainly at the end of the game. But he definitely had his ups and downs in that game. But it was just an unbelievable game full of unbelievable plays. And my kids didn't want to go to bed. I mean, they were staying up watching the game because it was just, you know, you just didn't want to miss that game. Mm-hmm. What was going on? And that was an SEC Network game. So you had to find it on SEC Network. Yeah. And I was amazed how many people on Twitter, I'm in a text string with the Joe Moore Award guys, and they're all, you know, Mike Golick is watching. He's flipping before, but and he played at Notre Dame between Mike Golick Jr. between Notre Dame, USC, looking for a cover, and the A&M game. And Jeff Schwartz, who's in the Pac-12, he's watching the SEC. He's watching A&M LSU, and all these guys are watching A&M LSU. Because you started hearing about, you guys really have to watch this. You guys really have to see this game.
It was epic. It was one of the great games of college football. And you know, I don't, you know, what you think of the overtime and what do you think of the scoring and whatnot. But that A&M and LSU scored with Joe Burrow, and I'm telling you, Joe Burrow for Heisman is real now. Okay, for that effort,
that was a loss.
He ran for 100. Mm-hmm. He put his team on his back though. He put the team on his back, though. And Joe Burrow is unstoppable as a force in college football.
For one game.
No,
Did he match his team, his season totals in that game as far as touchdowns scored?
Well, how about, wait a minute, both teams, their points against, they went from top 20 in the country to 100 and whatever?
You're like, oh. Like what Mike Elko's like, oh, what the hell?
What the hell?
I was in for a bonus.
Hey.
Or Iko, his name.
I think this is what Britt's sending, too, to me. It looks like this whole segment's going to end up being the Aggies and LSU.
Well, that was the best game ever.
But here's the question.
It actually should have been the 43-yard line. So that ESPN had it wrong. The 4th and 18 was a good completed pass.
Okay, it was a first down.
It was a first down.
Because on that line, I was like...
Well, the line is at the 41, but at Texas A&M, with 38 seconds left, had a 1st and 10.
We're talking about the one right before... Right.
The Texas A&M had a 1st and 10 at their own 47-yard line, which would mean that the first down would be at LSU's 43. The line ESPN had at the 41. So if you look where he catches the ball, he's at the 42-yard line. That was a first down.
Yeah, and you notice on the sideline, it wasn't like the LSU side was going crazy. What the hell? Give us a measurement. So
no, because it was just like first down. Let's roll.
Like if you're on you're watching TV, like what the hell is going on? But LSU, I guess, so clearly that line was in the wrong spot because LSU wasn't arguing.
See, and there's where he is, and he's clearly short of ESPN's line.
That's what I thought.
But the line should have been at the 43. ESPN's line was at the 41. It should have been at the 43.
Oh, and that's the Peter Burns tweet you're talking about.
We
should get Peter Burns on to talk about the game.
Yeah, it was a great game. Let's get him on. You know who else we need on today?
Who?
Big Philly.
Big Philly went bananas yesterday. How about Arizona's up 10-0, and I'm like, ooh, this game is getting a little 45 straight the other way.
Oh, my God. And that's something that we're going to find out tonight is whether or not the Texans are in the same class. Forget, I know that they're in the same class as Pittsburgh because Ben Roethlisberger the last couple of weeks has been about as crappy as you can possibly be with the amount of yards that he's thrown for.
Awful.
But you're going to find out, and let's face it, New England is not playing very good football. Although they covered yesterday, they're not. That was the Jets. And New England usually goes in and takes, and especially after the way that they played at Tennessee, those two, I thought with a week off and you're going to go into the Jets, you would think that they would dominate with Gronk back, and they certainly didn't. But you're going to find out whether or not the Texans are in the same neighborhood as San Diego tonight.
I think so. And we really never know which offense will show up for the Texans. That's the thing is there is a dominant, right. There's a really explosive offense. It only seems to show up when Will Fuller plays though. Have you noticed it hasn't been super explosive since Fuller went out again? Yeah. Like not against Denver, not against Washington. Will Fuller seems to unlock the explosive nature of this offense. Doug, can you check everything? Cause it says, Concept Mayhem says, are you guys off today? There seems to be an episode of the Billy Lucci show playing right now in your time slot. Is that on the stream or is he talking about this segment?
It can't be
the segment.
It can't be the Billy Lucci show because only one of you will be talking and it'd be for 7 minutes straight because that's what Billy does. There's been a dialogue as opposed to a monologue So it's not the Billy Lucci.
Oh, all right.
It ain't Billy Lucci.
All right. All right.
Billy likes to go. All I'm saying.
All right. So let's take a break. 713-780-3776.
Let's call this. Ryan goes, yeah, really, guys, this is the opening topic about two teams who ain't playing for crap. Dwight should have been.
I brought that up.
Well,
no, not
I said
Dwight.
That during the break.
Or during
the show.
And we've got a bunch of people saying, well, what about Bob McNair? Okay, that might be something you guys want to mention in your first segment.
Yeah, it happened.
I want to start off the show with sad.
Well, but it was on Friday, and we had sports stuff. That was kind of an oversight.
Yeah, we should be when we will. We'll talk about Bob McNair on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
What am I going to tell you?
The lies are in the email, but...
Where is the email?
Give me an example.
What email?
Your first live is Heritage Films.
Well, that's your friend. Chance McClain. He's actually my friend. My brother got to see the... my brother finally got to see the download of... He's sending a DVD to my parents. They got the download already in Dropbox. My brother's like, wow, I'm just starting to watch. He reached out to Chance on Twitter. Like, he just said, I'm about 30 minutes in. This is unbelievable, Chance. And my mom told me, I went and visited for Thanksgiving. She said, you know, your dad was really blown away by what Chance did.
It was really great. That happens all the time. So if you're looking to keep your family heritage alive, this is what you do. You go to yourheritagefilm.com and you say, and what a great Christmas present. See, I don't know if Chance is going to have time to get this done, do all the interviews and everything else, but what a great Christmas present for the family this is to have the history of your family, of your recent family, down for generations and generations to come. Think about that. As a Christmas present to the entire family. YourHeritageFilm.com. That's YourHeritageFilm.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yo. I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. We gon' show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I cannot get them off. You can catch me in my coat eating Hot Cheetos.
What do you think?
Snack.
What do you think Steve Cragthorpe did to Cole Fisher to deserve to get punched?
An LSU fan came and stuck his spike in my booty.
I don't think Steve Cragthorpe.
Still not old. Still not played out.
No,
I'll wait. At some point, maybe it will, but I'm not there yet.
Speaking of sticking fingers in booties, Tiny is here. He's an LSU fan. He might have stuck his finger.
An LSU fan came and stuck his finger in my booty.
he might have done that to Flat.
Well, I mean, there's... Giggle, I guess, right in the booty.
Right in the booty.
LSU got, first of all, they got a job. But I will tell you this. When you're looking at Twitter and the Pac-10 even comments on it on Twitter saying, like, this is horrible, then you have a problem. It's been a problem in the SEC for a long time, in my opinion.
What?
Even for LSU against A&M. I've seen it, and this time it just happened to be on the wrong side. I was on the wrong side of that. But
is this officiating?
LSU's always on the wrong side. You know that because, remember, White was couldn't play against Alabama in the first half thanks to that call by the referee.
Saved him some bad tape.
But this horrible SEC officiating goes back to when Alabama played LSU and Patrick Peterson got both feet in on the interception.
Did. No, he did.
Still called it incomplete.
Yep, I was there.
I will tell you this. You still have to play the game. And let me tell you something. Number 13 for Texas A&M, that dude should never come off the field. That dude's a beast. Mm-hmm. He took Greedy Williams and Delpit to school. I mean, that dude's good. Kudos to A&M. Kudos to Jimbo Fisher. I mean, how you going to have somebody walk up and hit a dude like that and got Parkinson's disease? Golly.
Tell the story. Have we told that story on this air yet?
Yeah.
We did tell it because we've been talking off the air about it, so the whole story. Yeah, that's right.
We led with it.
Now I did get a phone call to Pride of Karen Crow, Louisiana. Kevin Funk gave that he jobbed that dude a little bit. From what I heard, Kevin got on him. But kudos to A&M, man. It happens. You're now 2-14 versus Bama and LSU. Congrats, and you have something to go for the next 5 years.
Well, Jimbo's probably going to get a raise now.
So they say. So Kendrick Rogers, I guess, has been hurt since the Clemson game. I guess there were three games where he had no statistics. In between, he had a catch, two catches for 13 yards. Like, it's been almost non-existent. Four catches for an average of 9.5. The Clemson game was his big coming out party with 7 for 120 and two touchdowns. But apparently it wasn't a coming out party because he didn't do anything until this last game. And, you know, he only had 53 yards. I felt like he was at well over 100 with the catches he was making, the plays he was making.
Well, again, he didn't have a catch in regulation.
But it was only three catches. It felt like more, but every catch was a highlight reel.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, he didn't have a catch. I'm a little concerned. Did you guys see the blackface that he was wearing during the game? Did you see that, Dale? You didn't see that. I mean,
that was just eye.
What about the LSU fullback with the hair that was wearing it? Are you okay with that?
That's just called eye black.
It's not when you paint your whole face with it.
It's called being a wrestler.
Is it Al Jolson?
Did he exaggerate his lips as well?
Pardon me?
Did he exaggerate his lips too?
I don't know that. All I know is I'm a bit offended by the racism.
Did he wear a tuxedo?
Did he? I don't know it. I'm a bit offended by it.
I don't think that's what it was.
I think it was.
Hey, by the way, what was Baker Mayfield's, what was his reasoning for
So, you got his sound, though?
Baker Mayfield. Yesterday, now remember, Hugh Jackson, there's Demaryius Randall handing the football to Hugh Jackson. The Browns used to be coached by Hugh Jackson. And Hugh Jackson is now on the other sideline with Cincinnati Bengals. There was the thought that, well, Hugh is going to have a little knowledge about Cleveland. He's really going to help Cincinnati out a lot. Helped him out so much that Cleveland at one point was winning 35-7 on the road in Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati has completely fallen, completely apart.
Helped him out so much that since Cleveland scored the most first half points since 1992.
Yep. And it was their first win in over 1,000 days on the road.
On the road.
So that's how much it helped him.
Hugh Jackson appears to be one of the great coaches of our time.
It's wherever he goes, losses ensue. He's been hired, they haven't won Cincinnati.
Okay, yeah. And gotten slapped.
Slapped.
So, but I didn't understand Baker on this. After the game, Hugh went up and wanted to give him kind of a hug, and Baker kind of just shook his hand and walked away.
You could see he was trying to go in. Baker was having none of it.
Now, Baker's stats, have you seen it?
Yeah, it was a good game.
Oh, no. Since Hugh Jackson has left?
Oh, yeah. Well,
only Drew Brees has been better.
How many games
has
it been?
It's, what, three games now? Only, or is it two? They had a bye week. Two games.
He is throwing it like...
No, his passing yards and percentage are... Only Drew Brees has been better than Baker Mayfield since Hugh Jackson has left. Now, I don't understand Baker too much on this soundbite after the game, though.
He said, good job, good game. Yeah, that was brief. I didn't feel like talking.
You or him?
Me.
Why not?
I don't know. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel. Yeah. It's just like any rivalry game. That's just how it is now. That's how I'm going to treat it every time we play him, but it's nothing... You know, there's no hate. That's just how it is. That's how I'm going to treat it. And I think that's how our team should treat it, too.
Now, this is the same guy who, when Kansas wouldn't shake his hand at midfield, which was weak, Baker, they got a handful of nuts. Mm-hmm. He just kept saying D's on the sideline. Ohio State made him mad, so he planted a flag at the midfield. Baker is a professional grudge holder. If Baker's girlfriend ever does him dirty, it's going to be on for all of eternity, and it's going to spill into social media. You know that, right? Mm. Like, Baker is the grudge holder. Well, Baker is like a wife.
Well, but what I don't get, though, see, you know, hell, he was in our locker room asking us to play for him, and then he goes over to a team we play twice a year. He got fired. Yeah. ain't like he went, listen, you guys, I'm out of here.
Hold on, he's still
I
want
to go to Cincinnati.
He didn't have to go to Cincinnati to keep getting paid.
No, but he...
He's working for free for Cincinnati.
Yeah, but he wanted to go and work.
Cleveland's paying him to work. Well, no, Cleveland's not paying him. Cincinnati is now picking up the amount. Cleveland's going to supplement whatever.
Right, right, right. He's not making any more, but he wanted to work.
So Baker's like, you're a rival. We're both Ohio teams. You're playing for our right. And in Baker's mind, this is a competitive dude now. In Baker's mind, wow, you went to the rival?
Right.
You didn't even sit this one out until next year?
Well, let's face it. Let's face it.
It helped.
Hugh was strangling Baker, that offense. Freddie Kitchens is doing an unbelievable. They look like a real, real good football team right now. And this is the Browns, and I get it. But have you seen them the last few games? They actually look like a good football team in the NFL. So Freddie Kitchens is doing a hell of a job. You got addition by subtraction. But it wasn't like he said, listen, guys, I'd love to be here, but I'm going to go over to Cincinnati. He got fired. So, Baker, you got to, I mean, ease up a little bit. It's a business, okay? But that said, if he doesn't like Hugh Jackson, he doesn't like Hugh Jackson. Oh, well, he's a grudge holder, like you said. All right. Bob McNair, when we come back here on ESPN 97.5, the owner of your Houston Texans, I think I may write a little bit this week about Bob McNair. I know Fred already did. He wrote something, but I want to write something as well this week because I don't think that anybody's gotten bad a shake as Bob McNair did over this past year here in this city. And we can talk about that on the other side. In the meantime, you should talk about your testosterone.
Well, so at Men's T Clinic, one of the big differences that you're going to see when your testosterone levels are low and when they're where they're supposed to be or at optimal levels is in energy. And when I say energy, I know that's kind of a vague term, but you'll know it when you experience it. It blew me away. I remember having my first treatment on a Tuesday, and the doctor said, okay, within 3 days by, you know, Friday, you're going to feel a substantial difference with your energy level. It happens with many to most of the people who, you know, who are in getting treatments. And this is the first treatment. And that Friday, I remember getting out of doing my football work. I'd started radio in the morning at 6. I went straight through all the way to 7:30. And at 7:30, I was like, man, I still feel great. Went home, worked out until about 9:30 or 10, and it was unbelievable. Well, that's one of the reasons why you start seeing the body type changes that you do. There is a difference from your body in terms of lean muscle mass. You can retain lean muscle mass better, and you'll definitely be helped out. But you know, if you work out as well, it's going to make it even the difference is going to be even greater. So with Men's T Clinic, get your energy level back, get libido back if that's an issue for you, and then most importantly, get back to feeling like a real you. The quality of life thing is a huge issue, and when your testosterone levels are low, you're not going to be living your best life. Live your best life with Men's T Clinic. Go get tested if you're not sure if you have low testosterone. 1 in 3 men 40 and over are suffering from low testosterone. Don't let it be you. Go to menstclinic.com, 4 locations in the Houston area. Stop in and treat yourself today.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 732. John and Lance here with you. And it's taken a while, but the owner of the Houston Texans died over the weekend, over this Thanksgiving weekend. And he had been sick for quite a while. You haven't seen Bob McNair at the games for a while. He had, obviously, his bout with cancer. As a matter of fact, I saw them popping champagne when he beat it the first time. And then it, you know, as it does, it returned, and Bob McNair had been sick for a little while, and it was ever since, you know, we really haven't heard from him ever since he took back his apology for saying inmates running the prison as opposed to running the asylum. And one thing that he said, you know, was I wish I hadn't apologized because there wasn't anything racist in what I said. And, you know, it was obviously my thought on it. Boy, I wish Bob just wouldn't say anything anymore, because it's certainly not helping. And it certainly hurt his status here. That whole one statement. Now, Duane Brown brought up the
Obama thing,
which was how many years ago now? 10 years
2008.
Ago. Yeah. 10 years ago. When President Obama won the election and Bob McNair was none too pleased the next day. Whether that is racist or not is your interpretation, or it was a Republican that didn't like that a Democrat won.
Well, yeah, I think you could, I mean, you know, it depends on who you are. You'll either assume racism or not.
I guess, but yeah.
I would say.
You can assume what you think.
My guess is he probably wasn't happy that he lost an election and thought all this, you know, oh, here comes socialism. Here comes all that. They're taking everyone's money and the tax rates and all that. And
well, that a Republican didn't like that a Democrat won.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, if it was Hillary, would he have been a misogynist? Any African American that didn't like the Trump won, are they racist?
Now, what was unusual was that he brought it up at a football practice.
Yeah. No,
that was highly unusual, but, and tone deaf, to be sure.
That Bob McNair was that, yeah, that he, that he, obviously had some issues publicly with some of his comments. I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know if he's been saying, you know, I don't know if he says, you know, it's a cow of a different color. I don't know if he says, you know, if he mixes other metaphors. I don't know if he said, you know, the inmates running the prison when it didn't apply to the NFL players. I don't know. All I know is it's the inmates running the asylum, and he screwed it up. Whether or not he's been saying that about everything, that's a question too. Was he just referring to, if he's just referring to the NFL? And by the way, if he'd have said, well, that's a horse of a different color, would all the NFL players assume that he was talking about them as horses? I mean, it was a mixed metaphor. What Bob McNair has done in this community is irrefutable. I saw someone, he gave over $500 million of his money to charities. Oh, drop in the bucket. Really? Really? Because I know a lot of really, really rich guys that don't give anywhere close to what Bob McNair gave.
I can't, you know, I really have trouble with, you know, I hear about athletes who make, or celebrities, whoever, who make a certain amount of money. And then you hear about a $10,000 donation or whatever, and you think that feels more like a drop in a bucket. But regardless, when somebody's giving their money, they're giving their money. No one's looking at you about when you give your money at church or to someone, to a homeless person on the streets or whatever. We're not really being judged, you know. So giving that much money away, opening, I can tell you this, it hadn't really come up for quite a while, but on Twitter, people who worked with the Texans formerly, and some of the players, former players, some of the things that they talked about that Bob McNair did, it was pretty eye-opening to me, frankly, because I'd forgotten or didn't even know about a lot of the things he had done in the community. And I mean, and I'm not just talking about whatever community he lives in. I'm talking about less fortunate communities. I'm talking about United Way. I'm talking about the $100 million donation for breast cancer research. I'm talking about a lot of different mm-hmm. stuff that he did. And it really did get me to thinking, you know, I think Bob McNair had a pretty horrible PR run for the last year and a half. That there's just no way around it. I think he said some things that he regrets. I think the way he handled certain things, he should have just let him go away. And he kept,
instead, you know,
he kept
right.
talking. But with all that said, And you know who really, and it's interesting, one of the listeners, Lamont, made a comment that I read that I thought really made a lot of sense. He talked about all the stuff that Bob McNair had done, but he screwed up on an idiom, and forever for some people, everything else goes completely away, and that's how he's judged by many on this, when his quote-unquote body of work is pretty it's pretty substantial in a positive way. In a positive way. He didn't do things to hurt people. He did things to help people. And he made a comment that people didn't like, where he clearly mixed his metaphors. We know that, that was a mixed metaphor. But because this isn't a gotcha culture. Now, the other stuff, the Obama thing, completely tone deaf on his part. Don't know why he would have thought that he needed to go say that at practice. You and I both agree on that. But he's judged by people on, because it's more comfortable for them to put a narrative on him than to be honest about a body of work. That's unfortunate that's where we live, but that is where we live, and
I think it's a load of crap.
I agree with you. It's just unfortunate, but that is our reality. If people have a chance to get you, and they're going to get you, and that's it.
Well, and to think, okay, so the hundreds of millions of dollars that he paid now, and you said, well, you know what, he would have paid. He gave hundreds of million dollars. Well, his football team. At no time did he ever say, you know, this whole thing about him wanting an all-white team, that is simply ridiculous. If at any time he had told Rick Smith or any of his general managers, hey, let's get some more white guys in here, that would be a huge story. At no freaking time. He had an African-American general manager for 11 years. Well, and I've seen, well, Trump hired an African-American, so, well, there's, whoa. This was Bob, let's face it, what's his legacy? It's the Houston Texans. Not Cogen, not that he sold to Enron, none of that stuff.
No.
It's the Texans. He put the man in charge of his organization that would define his legacy. He put it in the hands of an African-American for 11 years, for longer than I think, way longer than he should have. And he said, you run my organization, and I trust that you will bring us a winner. That he did that. Now, you can't, well, so what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that he doesn't have, to me, he doesn't give a rat's ass what color you are. He cares that you are going to be a good employee of his and win. And he put his legacy in his hands, in Rick Smith's hands, for 11 years. Yes, that absolutely does mean something. It absolutely does mean something. And when did you ever hear, other than this Obama thing and the prisoners running inmates running the prison, other than that, when did you ever, ever, ever hear anything that could be remotely considered racist for Bob McNair? Never. So I just think it's ridiculous that this is. And I hope there was going to be a statue built, and then city council and everybody up in arms about the prison comment. Well, we're not going to build a statue of Bob McNair. Bob McNair deserves a statue here. Bob McNair deserves a statue out in front. He brought the NFL back here. And oh, by the way, I know someone that was going to be in on it with him. When it got up to $700 million, he said, I'm out. That's too expensive. So do you think, he gained for it. He took a pretty big risk. A $700 million investment was pretty substantial at that time. Now, do you ever lose when you buy a franchise? We'll see. Maybe maybe in the near future it'll happen. Maybe the Marlins, maybe that'll happen, that you actually won't get your money back from it. It'll actually be a loss because they're getting so crazy. The 2.2 that Tillman spent on the Rockets, that ain't going to be easy to recover.
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't. So, especially since it's a really mediocre team right now, at best. So, you know, he took a chance, and he brought the NFL back here. And he did it the right way. He did everything the right way, as opposed to Bud Adams, who was a butthole a lot of times when he was here. And that's all he cared about, was putting more and more money into his pocket. Did Bob McNair run it great? No. Did he run the organization great? No. But this narrative of him being a racist is absolutely, totally unfair.
Well, I think it's also the narrative of what I think it's what his legacy is for people, it's that's really unfair, because legacy's for anyone, and I don't care if it's fathers, wives, dads, moms. You know, you think about the amount of every single one of us who are talking right now or listening or whatever. When you die, what is going to be your legacy? It's not going to be, what is your legacy? What would your legacy be if everything in your life was found out, good and bad? If you were judged under the same terms and conditions that athletes and celebrities and entertainers, and in this case, an NFL owner, because we'll put them in the entertainment business. You know, if everyone was judged and they said, we're going to take this and this is who you're going to be, you'd be like, what? I did this. What about these other things I did? Sorry, it doesn't fit what we like about you. But we're not held to those same standards. You and I would be to a greater extent than other people who aren't in a public eye, because we're in a relatively public eye doing what we've done and doing it for as long as we've done it. But it is a little bit, I'm just about being consistent and about being fair. When you got to call somebody on stuff, you call somebody on stuff. And I think we did that with Bob McNair.
Please stop talking. But please, you know, Bob, yeah. you're killing us. But stop talking.
If you're going to be fair about stuff, you have to be able to take a macro view about things that don't fit the way that you want to say them. And I don't care if it's politically, I don't care if it's sports or whatever. You have to be able to, I don't care if it's you against your most hated enemy in sports. You got to be able to say, you know, I can sit here and tell you about how great the Utah Jazz were, the teams that I hated so much. Those were terrific teams, well-coached, played hard, all that stuff. I don't have to like them, but I mean, I got to respect them. Because I'm on.
Well, there were a bunch of racists in Utah.
I'm not, I don't a like bunch the of fans. Racists. But the teams, you know, I'm not going to be disingenuous. It's disingenuous to act like Bob McNair did not have an extremely positive impact on the community.
No.
It's not disingenuous to say that this was that controversy plagued him, and some of it of his own doing, some of it was unintentional, some of it was just not smart on his part. Mm. I think that's very fair to say all those things. But, you know, the comments that people, it's like, oh, we can get rid of another one, so he's gone now. We were able to dispatch of him. That just doesn't feel fair when you spent a lot of your life doing a lot of positive things. I don't think Bob McNair was probably a saint. I don't know about his business dealings and all that stuff, but none of us are saints. No. I can tell you that right now.
745 ESPN 97.5. Well, Chance can make your family into a... Your dad is like a saint now. So is Marsha. She's on the Heritage film.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. Buy her a nice seafood dinner. Listen, if you're looking for a way to keep your family heritage alive, hundreds of years from now, your family's going to know how you got to this place. I wish I had a video of our family. I'm not sure there was all that much video a couple hundred years ago, but boy, I sure would like to know where we came from, what was going on then, how they came over, how our fortunes changed in our family. Well, you can get that job done right now at yourheritagefilm.com. Keep it forever. At yourheritagefilm.com, Chance is going to do an unbelievable job telling the story of your family at yourheritagefilm.com.
Hey, man, I'm cool to lean on, but I'm not your property. See, I'm crushing down these problems, starting pain with poverty.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 750 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Joseph wants to get in here and talk about Bob McNair here on the show. Hey, Joseph, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
That's good. I was listening to what you say. I try to listen to y'all every morning. Going to work, enjoy the show. And I was listening to another show, another music show, but I turned back to y'all. And the reason why I bring it up is because when y'all discussing the McNair issue about him being a racist and how his positive attributes overshadow the negative impact that he's had in the last year or so, I think sometimes that that we get to kind of normalize the wrong things that we do, and we don't want to give people the negative credit that they deserve, if that makes sense to you.
You think we don't in this day? I think it's the other way. I think we kind of brush aside positives in terms of news reporting and things like that, and we primarily search for the negative. Doesn't it feel like that when you watch news and stories on people?
I agree, but yeah. I meant when we're talking about really rich people, because the thing is, it's like, well, he gave a whole bunch to a lot of different organizations, which is fantastic. He did a lot for the city of Houston. Mm-hmm. True. All true things. He received a tax break for all the donations that he got.
Well, everybody. So do we donations we make. We all do. Donating is, there's a tax break built into it to encourage more. Yeah. By the way, tax break, you don't get all that money back. You get a certain amount you can deduct.
So let me, your point being, because if you're rich, what about the Papa John's guy? What about Donald Sterling? That's all the Papa John's guy.
I don't even like comparing Bob McNair to
I think that's a bad comparison.
Right. But with that being said, John guy is still rich. But like I said, I'm not trying to besmirch the man, because he's obviously done more, and as far as us three know, he's obviously done more good than bad.
And that's what we're saying.
Right. But with that being said, I mean, a person's memory is a person's legacy is a person's legacy. For a while, I had a problem, and so now, for the rest of my life, as long as the city of Houston is concerned, you know, I'm a former alcoholic or whatnot. But the point is, that's part of my legacy. So yeah, I'm a good person in my opinion. But with that being said, you know, you can't act like that I didn't do what I did.
You put those drinks to your mouth and you became an alcoholic because of the amount of alcohol that you drank. Bob McNair mixed the metaphor. He said inmates running the prison.
You can't mix a metaphor for something that's not in you. For instance, as much racism as I feel that I've received in my life, never once have I returned it with a racist remark, because that's not in me. Mm-hmm. So you can belittle me, you can degrade me, but I'm not going to hit you back.
Let me ask
with something that's not in
well,
me.
Okay, let me ask.
Let me ask Joseph a question then.
I think that's very good of you. Do you think that if the story was told on you, that the lead and the lead should be, well, this guy had a drinking problem? Or do you think it should be what has happened during your entire life, what you have done positively? First of all, when we die, I just feel like you should focus on the positives. Most of the times, I've never been to a funeral where every once in a while you see obituaries where families have been wronged and they just slandered the dad or mom or whatever. But I think that, Joseph, you shouldn't be defined by just the negative stuff that your alcoholism, that was a part of your life and who you were, or that was a part of something, but you also, you know, overcame that. I don't think that's the defining thing in your life. I don't know your life. I do know more about Bob McNair. And when we say, well, he had a positive impact, and that's your comment. Things that he did had a positive impact on people's lives, financial donations, building the Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, what negative impact? I'm being serious about this. What negative impact when he made the comment he did and he mixes metaphors, even if you think that was inside him, tell me what the negative impact ended up being where people got hurt.
Well, let me not try to speak for someone else, but I say myself. So, like, a person supports seemingly everything that you do, because that's what we do. And then you find out the person that you think you love or and or support doesn't really care for you or anybody who looks like you. And the thing is, you know, you kind of feel maybe betrayed might be a strong word because I don't actually know the man, didn't know the man. And like I said, I'm not trying to besmirch the man. But with that being said, I mean, we are who we are, and this is the only thing that we've seen. So if he did some other negative stuff that we're not privileged to, then, you know, we're just not privileged to that. Let's not.
But
let's
are we going to.
Well, wait a minute. You're assuming that he did other stuff just because you didn't see it?
What? I got to tell you.
What? Yeah. So you're assuming that he did other stuff, but like you didn't see it?
He probably did.
How do you know what?
We don't know also.
What? Well, never mind. Okay, we got to cut this off.
Man,
you're going to assume that he did other racist things because you were not around him 24 hours a day.
Here's the thing that
Why would you assume that when he did nothing but wonderful things for this community, donated? There is absolutely no reason whatsoever to think that Bob McNair was a racist.
This is
zero.
A racist is not going. You can't tell me about tax break. You could go build something in Katy or Pearland if you're looking for tax breaks. A racist is not going to make Rick Smith, a young African American, and I mean young at the time, a general manager of his football team. He's not going to start The minority hiring, he won awards for minority hiring. Like, it doesn't, I understand that it runs contrary to a theme and a narrative here, but I've always struggled with that because even if you think that he had bits and pieces of racism or bigoted or whatever that's typical of older people, especially older people from the South, these moves primarily and fundamentally run contrary to a racist. They don't make those hires. It just doesn't happen.
The narrative doesn't work. There were hundreds, if not more, people he could have hired to be his general manager.
Easily.
He chose an African American to run his legacy. So, I mean, that
in
just
the heart
that.
Of his leg, 4 years in.
Yes.
In the heart of when they were trying to get it going, and stuck with them, by the way.
Yeah. So anyway, 758. To assume that he did other racist things because you weren't around him. What?
Yeah, that's what? I'm not comfortable with that.
758, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. I want to talk about. Listen, if you have any issues ED wise. If you are having any problem whatsoever in the boudoir, the peeps over at hymns4hymns.com/John5, it is unbelievable what is going on there. Because I don't know if you've priced the blue pill lately. It is really, really, really expensive. The blue or the yellow, I don't know whatever the case may be. At 4hymns.com. The whole thing, you will be able to talk to a doctor online on your own time, not having to go to the doctor's office and do all that stuff. You will be able to get your answers, all of your questions answered, and you will begin with your medicine. That's a generic version of the blue pill for $5, all for $5. That first month is just $5. How unbelievable is that? When we're talking about hundreds of dollars that you would have to spend. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best deal on this, and there's plenty of people out there that are trying to move the Tadalafil or whatever it's called. They're trying to move the generic blue pills. This is the best deal that you're going to find. 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.